Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of August, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Have a quick discussion with Brian Grady. He's leading the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour and will tell us about the results from Ohio and South Dakota. He'll be in Indiana throughout the day today and then in Bloomington, Illinois tonight. We'll hear more about that and we'll discuss the western leg of that same tour with Chip's colleague and counterpart over in Nebraska today, Chip Flory. That all as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for Tuesday afternoon. September in the soft red winter wheat at $5.46, up 3.5 cents. December at $5.58.5, up 4.25. And the July of next year, the harvest month for the soft red, at $5.96, up 2.75. Corn pit and the September contract, $3.62.5, up 1.75. And the December futures at 3.72.25, up 0.75 cents. March contract 3.85.5, a half higher than May at 3.93.5, up 0.25. And July corn at $4.25, up 0.25 cents. December of next year 4.13.25, down 0.25 cents. September soybeans $11.20.25, up 4.75. November down a nickel at 10.52.75. January at 10.60.5, down 6 cents. And March beans at $10.68, 6.5 cents lower. The May futures at 10.73.75, down 7. July at 10.78.25, down 7.75. And next year's November at 10.58.75, 5.25 cents lower. Bean oil trading at 32.66, 30 cents lower. Bean meal at 3.99.80, up $7.70 as it finished the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the October contract today at 147.22.5, down $1.32.5. The October feeder cattle at 213.37.5, were down $2.15. And lean hogs in the October, 27.5 cents lower at $94.82.5. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio from the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. September contract, $94.65 a barrel, down a $1.76. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $2.69.7. That's 4.1 cents higher. Ethanol futures at $2.11.3, 1.8 cents lower, and the spread between the two is 57.4 cents wide. That's 4.4 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.87.7, 8.5 cents higher on the day, and diesel fuel down, or rather up, 1.1 cents. At $2.81.7 per gallon. Gold futures finished at $1,295.30 a troy ounce, $2.60 lower, and the U.S. dollar at 81.87 is currently on the delayed tick, up 0.3 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area today, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms under cloudy skies, an 86-degree high on a southwest wind this afternoon. And then tonight, a 30% chance of rainfall. That'll come before 9 in the evening Central Time. Patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy and a low of 66 degrees, a 20% chance of rainfall after 1 in the afternoon tomorrow. Patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny and a high of 86 on calm winds. And then we'll have a better chance of rainfall on Wednesday night, about 50% coverage, mostly cloudy and a low of 69, with light and variable winds turning to the south-southeast at 5 miles an hour after midnight. On Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, then partly sunny, a high of 88. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy and 71. And on Friday, sunny skies and 90 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Find us online. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. It is the 19th day of August, 2014. On the phone line, as usual for a Tuesday, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
And let's take up what's been happening in the marketplace. I'm interested in the divergence in the nearby September and then the November or the new crop soybeans going on out. September was up 4 3/4 and everything down, everything else down a nickel to, I don't know, 6-7 cents for the day. Why is that the case?
Well, of course, we've with the August gone, now the September's the lead month, and we're wanting to own some beans for the time period between now and when harvest starts rolling long enough to fill up for the crushers. They've basically got enough beans bought for maybe the next 10 days. But after that, they're a little bit slack, and we've seen the basis levels increase, 20, 25 cents over the last couple of days for the nearby beans. And we're seeing a few people that aren't able to buy the cash beans or at least going to the board trying to have that to try to increase the price a little bit to entice some of the farmers to make the flat price be a little higher.
Is this a reason for farmers that are holding beans to go ahead and sell them?
You know, somebody put it on one of the news wires that this was like playing musical chairs. As long as the music is playing, it's great and it's going your way, but one day it's going to stop when they figure they're close enough to get enough beans in to get to buy enough beans to get them to when they're going to get the out of the harvest of the new beans. So I'm saying in a, you know, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow it ought to be something to think about.
All right. And then if you're doing that, I'm wondering as you look forward into the November on out what you're telling producers about this little bump in the old crop soybean prices, because they may find it comforting, but I suspect you don't find it terribly comforting in terms of the longer version.
No, I mean, we're hearing some tremendous pod counts from the Pro Farmer Tour. You're looking at things that are going to be, you know, record yields this fall and record production, and that, of course, doesn't equate to generally higher prices, unfortunately. So, we are thinking that any bounces on up, it's a little ways away, but, if we could bounce up 20 cents from here or something on the new crop beans, well, we'd probably be thinking of moving a few more.
And was it a dull day in the corn market?
It wasn't, and I'd say that not because it didn't move a lot, but because as we're looking here, we thought that when we punched back down below 370 this morning, we'd probably ease on down into the lower 60s for the day, and it just didn't happen, and it strengthened into the end of the day. And, the basis levels on corn are staying somewhat firm now, trying to entice farmers to sell a little bit more right now. But it looks like it's sort of found support in this area, Todd.
Is this the trade coming to more full realization that USDA's 167.4 might be more on the mark than less on the mark?
Well, I think that maybe it isn't that as much as maybe some of the big fund managers, their ideas were a lot bigger than 168, and it maybe has to be something in between that number. I think Landworth came out with his at 174.8 on the corn and 46.4 on the beans, that way. So, there's still some pretty big numbers being thrown around, but I do think that the non-cash movement for right now is affecting the markets.
What do you think of the numbers you've heard so far from the crop tour? Of course, they released Ohio and South Dakota yesterday afternoon and last night.
I'm not surprised at some of the numbers. I talked to a few of the people that are on the tour on the phone this morning, and they said that some of the routes were good, very good, and some were sort of poor. And it's just sort of like we've heard about the spots as you'll go around that didn't get rain as we went along in some of the later planted stuff. So I think that maybe the tour is just pointing out that there's a few more of those spots that didn't get all the rain or got planted quite a bit late, showing up than what we maybe thought there was before.
For producers that have corn left in the bin, should they leave it there, or do they try to clean it out?
Well, I think that looking at the harvest that they're looking at, like here, I'd sure like to start with a nice clean bins, but I don't see the great advantage of wanting to hang on to corn a long time.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Tuesday afternoon. You can always find it again on our website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You can see that on your laptop or computer on your regular screens. And it also shrinks down so it fits on your mobile phone, your smartphone, as well. There is an alternative there if you'd like to take a look at a different version at http://www.mwillag.org. That's our mobile-only version. That's m.willag.org. Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Earlier this morning, I spoke with Brian Grady. He's the director of the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We began our conversation with some simple pleasantries. I'm asked him just how he was doing for the morning.
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, the sun's out. It's a beautiful day for out, being out here scouting crops, and, you know, we're doing a good job here, so rolling right along.
Can you take me through the numbers from yesterday from both the eastern and the western legs of the crop tour? That would be Ohio and South Dakota.
Yes. In Ohio, what my eastern leg found was an average yield on tour samples of 182.11. That was up 6.1% from what we gathered on tour samples last year. On the soybean pod counts in a 3 foot by 3 foot square, 1342.42, and that was up 4.6% from what we found on tour samples last year. Now on the western leg, Chip Flory and his gang out there got a 152.71 yield out of South Dakota. That was up 5.6%. And they got average pod counts in a 3 foot by 3 foot square of 1057.8, up 4% from what they found on tour out there last year.
Were the folks on the eastern leg surprised by the numbers? Because I saw some things that came out of there yesterday on the Twitter feeds that suggested there were some pretty poor fields, both in Ohio and South Dakota.
You know, I think that the I can only speak for what I saw in Ohio on the eastern leg of things, but it was crop maturity more than it was poorness of field, at least from what I saw and what I heard from most of the scouts at the meeting last night. There was some variability, there's no doubt about that, but there were some very good fields as well as some on the poorer side of things. But the corn crop seemed to be holding up relatively well to some of the stresses facing. It's just a matter of the maturity. We saw anywhere from early milk stage to dough stage in most of the fields. I was only in one field yesterday that just started to dent. So you can tell that it's going to need some time.
What's your route like today through Indiana and into Illinois?
Yeah, we're heading up northwest from Fishers, which is a suburb of Indianapolis. We have not crossed in into Illinois yet, so I can't speak anything about that. But I can tell you that the plant health is very good here. We've had some strong yields. We haven't had anything that's been off the charts yet through our first four or five stops here. But, you know, it's been the plant health has been noticeably better here than what it was yesterday in Ohio.
And where will you be meeting tonight? And if producers want to come and listen to you and the folks on the eastern leg talk about what you've seen in Ohio, Indiana, and parts of Illinois?
Yeah, we'll be in Bloomington, downtown at on the southern edge at the Doubletree. And, you know, we'll have a big crowd there tonight. And like you mentioned, we'll go over what we saw in Ohio. We'll have final numbers for Indiana. And then we'll have observations, obviously, from the eastern edge of Illinois.
Brian, thanks for talking with us today. We look forward to hearing from you again during the week and then on Friday afternoon at 2:36 for our Commodity Week program. Thanks much, and we'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
That's Brian Grady. He was on the eastern leg of the Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the western leg is Chip Flory. He's the director there and leading that part of the program. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for taking the time with us, Chip. What have you seen so far in the field today, and where are you?
Yeah, right now we are just on the
the eastern edge of Saunders County. It's in east central Nebraska, and making our way. We're getting a combination. We're in an area, Todd, where we're going to get a combination of irrigated and dry land corn samples. Further south of us in this area, they're going to be getting mostly irrigated samples. But we're seeing some issues out here in this cornfield. We'd sure like to see a few more ears than what we're finding, at least on my route. Ear pops are not so good, and that's to be expected in the dry land fields. But even in the irrigated fields, we're seeing some skips that are evidence of some emergence problems that we had earlier this spring. Just based on what I've seen on my route, I'm a little bit concerned about the ear populations when we wrap up Nebraska tonight.
So you're concerned, but as you've said in the past, it's not just about what's on your route, but across the board. So
right.
Have you been hearing from others and seen from other routes that this is a problem?
Yeah, we do have kind of a network set up out here, and some of the guys are talking back and forth. And yeah, the ear pops issue is coming up from spot to spot. And the thing is, Todd, it started in northeast Nebraska yesterday, and we were hoping that today when we got into the southeastern part of the state that we were going to get out of that problem and start finding some better consistency on the ear populations. And like I said, I just don't think we're finding it right now. Now, this is one of those issues that does, you know, in the past has fooled us that when everything does get all entered in, you know, it's even with what it was a year ago or maybe even a little bit better. But just the feeling that we've got from the observations out there on the road right now is that our ear pops are going to be an issue. And like I said, I think it all goes back to this spring with some emergence problems. And a little bit further north of where we're at right now, there was some late spring frosts and freezes that might have knocked the population back a little bit. And, of course, we're in Nebraska. There's been some hailstorms, some terrible hailstorms, but there's been scattered hailstorms, too, that came early in the season that maybe we can't see the evidence of it on the plants right now, but it may have taken out some of the population at that time.
Brian took us through the finalized numbers from your South Dakota legs yesterday at 152.71 for the corn. I would, however, like to hear your opinion of that crop.
Yeah, the maturity is an issue, and again, it goes back to some of the problems that we had this spring. And it's not an issue on every ear in the same field. A lot of guys were talking about we'd pull our three sample ears and we'd have two very different maturity levels on those sample ears. Two of them might be in milk and the other one might be just coming out of the blister stage and just trying to put on some weight. Or it might been the other way around. And that's concerning, especially when we're talking about up in South Dakota. The ears that are in the milk stage, I'm not worried about those. Those are going to finish. The ears that are just coming out of the blister stage, that's going to be a bit of a push to go ahead and get to black layer before we get before we end the growing season up there. And it's something that we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, as cool as it has been this year, and we keep getting those pushes of cold temperatures down out of Canada. We're going to have to pay very, very close attention to that when we get to the end of September and the first couple of weeks of October, just to see exactly when that first hard freeze is going to come down.
Where do you settle in for the night tonight?
Tonight we're going to end up in Nebraska City. We're going to have our final Nebraska data available after tonight's meeting. And we've been covering a lot of ground out here. And one of the things that's really becoming evident is the guys out here in Nebraska are developing a very serious water problem. Some of the bean fields are terrible weedy, and they're weedy enough that they are doing some yield damage out here in Nebraska. And it's an issue that everybody is dealing with now, but it's something that we're going to have to figure out how to get it under control out here in Nebraska. So running into some problems with water hemp out here in Nebraska.
Competition does become a problem, especially with weeds, and it's one of the largest problems producers have to face, but it's something new, I suppose, as they've had a couple of decades of Roundup and glyphosate under their belts, and
right
now things are coming to roost, right?
That's exactly right. Yep, we need to get a little bit more aggressive with some different modes of action out here.
Hey, thanks so much, Chip. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Chip Flory leads the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We also spoke with Brian Grady. He leads the eastern leg. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 70% of the crop around the nation has reached the dough stage. That's well ahead of the 63% rolling five-year average. However, only 22% of the corn crop is now dented. That's behind the rolling five-year average of 27%. The condition of the crop is said to be 51% good and 21% excellent. That's down slightly from 52 and 21 in the previous week. Soybeans are blooming now at the rate of 95% around the nation. That's the same as the rolling five-year average. And 83% of the crop has set pods. 79% is the rolling five-year average. 54% of the soybeans are said to be in good condition. 17% excellent. That's up slightly from the 53 and 17 in the previous week. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois and Iowa with their updates.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Below average precipitation across much of Iowa caused a drop in soil moisture, especially in the northeastern part of the state during the 5.6 days suitable for field work. Temperatures for the week averaged 3.6 degrees below normal. Localized rains fell on Sunday the 10th over the southwest one half of Iowa. Most of the week's rain fell Friday over southwest and south central Iowa. Total rain for the week varied from nothing to very little in the northeast one-third of the state to 5.03 inches at Murray. Average precipitation for the week was 0.69 inches, 0.29 inches below normal. Three-quarters of Iowa's corn acreage was in the dough stage or beyond, 16 days ahead of 2013 and 8 days ahead of the five-year average. With 16% of the corn crop in the dent stage, 75% of the crop was reported in good to excellent condition. 88% of the soybean acreage was setting pods or beyond, 20 percentage points above the previous year and 2 points above average. 73% of the soybean acreage was rated in good to excellent condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cooler than normal in Illinois, with average temperatures more than 4 degrees below normal. Precipitation was slightly above normal, but widely varied. Northwest parts of the state averaged only 1/10 of an inch of rain, while southeastern Illinois averaged almost 2 inches of rain. The overall state average was 1.04 inches, 15/100 of an inch above normal. As of Sunday, 86% of corn acres have reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 67% 1 year ago and 76% for the five-year average. 34% of acres have reached the dent stage compared to 13% last year and 38% normally. 5% of acres are rated in very poor or poor condition, 15% are fair, and 80% of corn acres are in good or excellent condition. 96% of soybean acres are blooming compared to 93% last year and 95% for the five-year average. 89% of acres are setting pods compared to 74% 1 year ago and 79% normally. 4% of soybean acres are in very poor or poor condition. 18% are fair and 78% are in good or excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. We'll talk with Matt Bennett from TGM. He's out on the tour.
It's National Soft Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Seth Thomas was born. An American clock manufacturer, Thomas was one of the pioneers in the mass production of clocks. In 1851, Charles E. Hyers was born. Hyers invented a particular flavored root beer. As a Philadelphia pharmacist, he sampled a herb tea while visiting New Jersey. Back home, he created a similar drink, Hyers Herb Tea, with sassafras as the main flavoring ingredient. He sold the mixture at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition in tiny packets containing barks, herbs, and berries for housewives to brew as root beer. In 1856, Gale Borden was granted a patent for a process to make condensed milk, which he developed in 1853. Condensed milk could be preserved for long periods of storage. His company's advertising slogan, "The milk from contented cows," was a tremendous success. The flat-top cans are still available today. And in 1887, Spencer Fullerton Baird died, an American naturalist and zoologist. He was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's take one more look at the western leg at the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Matt Bennett has been there all week long and will be through tomorrow. He joins us now. Where are you this afternoon, Matt?
Well, right now I'm actually on the eastern side of Nebraska. The stop tonight will be in Nebraska City. We're just a little bit north of that right now. I've been with Chip actually today, and he's going to do his show, I guess, from a John Deere dealership. So that's where we're hanging out right now.
All right. Well, Chip and Market Rally doing his show. You'll be on that show too. If folks can tune in, they should do that. It's a great program. You can always find it under AgWeb and online. Look for the Pro Farmer stuff and Mr. Chip there if you can. But let's take up some of the things that Chip Flory and I discussed this morning and get a farmer's perspective on what's happening in Nebraska first. Chip was a little concerned when we talked to him earlier in this program and earlier today about the number of weeds, water hemp in particular, in soybean fields. Is that something that concerned you as well?
Yeah, we've seen some fields that have really just a large amount, you know, of water hemp. I've seen a lot of mare's tail. We've seen a lot of areas that obviously are going to pull down yield just a little bit, but I think more concerning is that, you know, it appears, you know, maybe we've got a little bit of a weed resistance problem, which is going to have to be closely monitored moving forward.
All right. What does your farmer's eye tell you about the fields you've been in today for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, we got in, we were looking for one of these irrigated fields that would maybe just really wow us with a yield, and we were in four different irrigated fields, and the highest of those four was 210, and I would say the average on the four irrigated fields was definitely under 200, so I was kind of surprised by that. What we've seen, obviously, maybe some springtime stress, a little bit too much water, saw a lot of skips, so I don't know whether that was a planting issue or whether that was too much water, but bottom line, we weren't getting the ear counts that we were kind of hoping those to see, and so, you know, whenever we got over into the dry land, I think the yields held up, I think, fairly good for dry land. But again, I think the overwhelming thing that both of us saw all day today was that, you know, the ear counts just weren't there. I mean, we saw a whole lot of skips. We saw a lot of areas where, you know, we just didn't have near the population that we really needed to bang out a big yield.
Well, that was the next question. I was wondering whether ear counts weren't there because it was too heavily populated, but apparently that's not the case.
No, it is not the case. And I don't know what their drop was, but plain and simple, it looks to me like the standing population in most of the places that we were in, they'd push it to get to, you know, 26 or 7,000. And so, you know, I know on the irrigated ground, they like to drop a lot more than that. And obviously, we had a little bit more as far as population on the irrigated ground than the non-irrigated, but still, it wasn't near what it really needed to be to have those big yields.
And finally, have you got a running total of what the corn yield on your route for the day might be?
Yeah, we just figured it up after our last stop, and we're actually sub 170, so, you know, it's a little bit less than kind of what we were expecting.
Good luck, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett, of course, is on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. And that wraps it up. U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.